Welcome to Sundial. I'm Carlos Frias. You'll never say your house is messy again after you've seen the homes that Audi Kananen cleans on YouTube. Audi cleans the dirtiest homes you hope never to see. Dirty isn't even the right word. Clean isn't either. She digs people out of their messy spaces, and usually she helps dig them out of their depression. There's a reason tens of millions follow her on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram, and it isn't just for shock value. Audi steps in when a person is overwhelmed, usually after an unexpected tragedy, a painful loss. We usually never meet the person Audi's helping. She doesn't want people to have to sell their pain to get her help. She uses sponsorships on her social media to cover the costs. She recently came from her home country of Finland to South Florida, where she's cleaning houses for free. She knows the power of what she's doing. Cleaning and organizing helped Audi through her own depression. Now she's helping others out of theirs, one offensively dirty bathroom at a time. Audi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So just for you, we have our studio that you can see through the windows, our new newsroom that is a total disaster that's being renovated. So we did that just for you, just to make you feel at home.
Yeah, but I think your studio isn't dirty enough for me.
No?
Sorry. No way.
Well, listen, after watching some of your videos, I know for a fact that that is true.
Yes, I love dirt, grime, mold, everything. Ah.
Audi, I don't understand you at all, but hopefully in the next hour we'll start to figure out why that is. It's funny because, you know, our producer Leslie Ovalle sent us some of the links, and I started watching, and I watched about 30 seconds of one video, and I was like, that's as much as I hope that was enough for the algorithm to get you the money you need for your sponsorship to keep cleaning. I was like, but that's all I can watch of that.
I understand.
But tell me about that. Like, there must be an element like that of people that that are both as drawn as they are to, like, the not just the cleaning, but like the kind of drama of that, of what got people to that place, as there are people who look at him and like, oh, I can't watch this.
Yeah, people love to see something transform. Mm. Like, and then they love also the stories. So it's both of them.
Right. The story seems like so much of it too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, people, I often get asked, how did it ended up like that? People don't understand how someone's home can look like that. But I feel like I can understand. If you are years depressed, then it usually starts from the kitchen. You left few dishes there and here, and then few trashes, and suddenly the whole home is total mess.
Wow. So it's one of those things where it builds. You would leave one thing, it becomes, and it just becomes overwhelming. Like, where did you start, right?
Yeah. And usually these people say that they are going to take the trash out tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, but tomorrow never comes.
Right. I think people need to get an idea. And folks, if you're listening at home right now and you're having lunch, whatever you do, you might not want to put on her videos while we're talking about this. But if people do want to find your videos, what's the best way to find it?
I think the best way to find me is on Instagram, Auri Katariina, or TikTok, Auri Katariina, or YouTube, Auri Katariina, or Facebook, Auri Katariina.
Katariina with two eyes in there. Katariina.
Yes.
And so give us a description. I mean, like, there's been times where I look at my room and I'm like, this is a disaster. It's going to take me, you know, I'm going to be cleaning for 20 minutes here to get this back into orderly space. But give us an example of the kind of things that you're talking about, the special needs places that you encounter.
Yeah, so the perfect home for me is, you can't see the floor. That's the first thing.
You cannot see the floor.
Yeah, it's perfect. Oof. Like, it's, the home is filled with trash, so you can't see the floor. There might be some rats, cockroaches, maggots. Oh, I love those. And then there's like good stains. So
there's what now? Say that
again. Stains.
Oh, unidentifiable?
Yeah, and then layers of dust. Because, oh my God, a year's layer of dust is so beautiful. Oh. And then I come and I can wipe it away. Oh, oh my God.
Because it's interesting. I feel like you can see the other side. when you look at it, you can be, you can see, like, you can see what it's going to look like when you're done.
No.
No.
Maybe I can, but it's not that I like the result. I like the cleaning process itself. So I love that thick layer of dust. But table like this clean, it's boring. So the dust layer is fascinating for
it's
me.
Just some, well, what is it about that? Do you think that is, that just became interesting to you?
I think because I'm the world's best cleaner. So
trademark, TM, world's best cleaner.
Yes, for sure. And doesn't everybody love what they are best for? Like, I just love because I know how to do it. I'm quick. I can, I feel like I can control a life around me when I'm cleaning.
Oh, that's interesting. So something about the cleaning process gives you, like, order.
Yes.
Interesting. How did you discover that that was a thing that, that brought order to your life? Like, where were you at the point in your life when you started to realize that?
Well, as a kid, I was a messy girl.
What do you mean by messy?
Like, my room was total disaster. Like,
and mom or dad, and your mom is in the studio today.
Yeah.
So she's in the control room. Is she right? Is she right? Was it a disaster, mom?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thumbs up from the other room. But give me an example. What did a disastrous room look like for Audi Kananen?
It was like messy, like clothes and trash everywhere. And once my mom took a trash bag and put everything there.
Oh, I know. Every parent has had that. That if you don't clean this up, everything on the floor is going to end up in this trash bag.
Yep.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because, oh my God, I was so messy. And I think I still I am. But yeah, after that, so my mom has been in the cleaning industry almost her whole life.
Oh, really?
So back then, when I was 16, she was working in a cleaning company. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, maybe I should start cleaning too. So I started cleaning, age of 16. And after that, when I was like 19, I went to study cleaning.
Okay, this is interesting. So there's like institutes where you study cleaning in Finland, where you're from, right?
Correct.
So there's like a culture of cleaning then, if you have like a cleaning institute, right?
Yes. And I think that's, I'm super proud of that, that we have that in Finland. It's unique.
You've seen enough of the world, I imagine, to see that it's not like that everywhere. Why do you think it's so that's such a highlighted thing in where you're from?
I think in Finland we have to pay high salary to our employees, so they have to be fast. You know, they have to be quick enough. So that's why we have schools to teach them cleaning techniques, products, da 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 da. So they are fast. Because if I go to Asia, I see cleaners there, they have this tiny square and they are cleaning it the whole day because the salaries are so low, so they can do that.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's kind of like the quicker you get done, the less the person has to pay.
And, yes.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Exactly.
And so what was like your first motivation, do you think? Like when you see, you know, at 16, was there a moment that kind of flipped a switch for you?
No, I just needed money.
That's the switch, folks.
My mom was like, you have to work.
Oh, that's
like,
it.
Like, you have to work. And I liked working. I hate school, so I liked working. So that was it.
That did it for you. And I'm curious what it was like. Did you go with your mom on the things? Like, what was your first trip, your first foray into cleaning?
No, my mom was a service manager back then, and I was just cleaning houses.
Oh, just like around the neighborhood, or friends, or what?
Yeah, like friends and families, and like because of course I was at the same time I was in school, so I was studying at the same time. So after school, I went to clean.
Right, and there's one thing to do that for a paycheck. You know, you do what it is. I mean, plenty of folks, you know what it's like to start in a cleaning service or clean a hotel or, you know, there's a big kind of, especially in South Florida, there's a big culture of having, you know, cleaners at your home or a cleaning service, you know. But there's something else that you must have been doing that where you found that you got some kind of feedback. You kind of liked it, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it, you know, this much time later.
At that time, to be honest, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Because I wasn't that good. I had to try different products and I wasn't that quick and it was painful.
Oh. It's like everything, I think. Like, once you get good at something, you start liking it, right?
Yes, correct. So at the age, I was like 19. So I graduated from high school and I was like, what to do with my life? And then I decided to go to study cleaning because all of my friends, they wanted to go cafeteria or study law, to be a doctors, like something sexy. And I was like, I want to go to cleaning industry.
Oh, that's so interesting that you made that. Why? What of all things, what was it about that really caught your attention, do you think?
I think because not many people wanted to go there. There was just old people, I think. So I was like, I want to go there and change something.
Oh, so you saw a kind of a need there. There wasn't anybody your age that was young that was competing in your space, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah, it was like my playground.
Yeah. Well, first of all, so talk to me about walking into your playground. You walk into a space. How do you know where to start?
You can start anywhere. I can start anywhere. But like, it doesn't matter where you start.
I mean, do you have an idea of, you mentioned that sometimes you can't see the floor of the place. Yep. That's the perfect place. So do you start with the floor? Like, where's like a good place to start if you don't know?
Yeah,
let's say the people are, somebody's listening now. And like, I know somebody that's got a disaster of a house and they need my help. Mm-hmm. And where would you tell that person to start?
You can start from the floor. I think it's easiest to start pick up the trash.
Okay.
That's the easiest part. Just start.
Just start is a great message, right? Like if you leave it for another day, it's still going to be there and it's going to be worse, right?
Yeah. And it takes time. Usually on video, trash picking, it lasts like seconds or minutes. But usually it takes hours.
How long have you spent in a place like as a minimum when you go into a place? Like how much time do you set aside that you know you're going to be doing this?
Usually it's 2 days and 12 hours each.
Wow.
So
wow,
24.
Two really full days.
Yeah, I'm exhausted. It's like running a marathon. After that, I'm so exhausted. I'm so sweaty. I look terrible. But I feel so good. So good.
Our guest today is Ari Kananen. She's become famous for going around the globe cleaning some of the messiest homes. Her book is titled Happiness Cleaning, How to Embrace the Mess and Love the Cleanup. You know, you talked a little bit about your own home growing up, which I was so curious about, and your mom being in the cleaning service and how. Mm-hmm. So your mom was the neat freak in the family, on top of being your social media person, because she's taking pictures here in the other room. She was the person that kept the order of the house going?
Well, not really. She's not as a good cleaner as I am.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. The gauntlet has thrown down. You can't say that in a Latin household. Like, you can't say your parent, you're better than your parent.
I'm better. She's good at making money, but I'm better as a cleaner,
oh,
for sure.
God, that's so
but
funny.
She was like swearing and cleaning, so...
She didn't take the joy out of it that you did.
No.
How did you find that? You know, we talked about this with our producer a little bit. You mentioned that it helped you get past a certain point in your life, like getting that order around you. I'm curious how that happened. Like, how did one thing help you with the other?
You mean the time when I was depressed, or yeah? So I remember when I was 10, I had my journal where I write these really depressed things, that I didn't want to be here, and it was I think terrible time for me. And then I started therapy when I was 14.
Oh wow.
So
like, was there anything particular going on in your life at that point? Like,
no, that's the thing. I think, like, I don't know even nowadays where did it come from, but it got worse and worse years after year.
Right.
So,
which is like a lot of things. Sometimes it's unexplained. You can fall into a depression. You can fall into a funk. And it sounded like you had support system around you that recognized it.
Yeah, yeah. And I appreciate that. So it was hard time for me, but I've learned that everybody struggles here at some point.
Mm.
So that's why I want to help people, because I know everybody struggles. But sometimes people just need help.
Right.
A little bit of help, and that can help them.
Right. And that's, I imagine you feel like what you're doing has specifically helped some people pass their points,
yes.
Right?
So before my TikTok career, I was volunteering at Suicidal Hotline. So now I've combined my two favorite things, helping people and cleaning.
Oh, that's interesting. This was in Finland where you were?
Yes.
Right. And obviously in America, we do have a National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number, and that's just 988. Again, just 988, and you can call that and text that number and get the help you need. Tell me about getting that job. What led you to that job in particular in Finland when you were doing that?
Well, after therapy, I was like, when I wasn't anymore depressed, I was like, I want to help people, because there is so many people depressed and like struggling and everything. So I was like, it was so clear to me that after I have finished my school, I want to help people. So I started to do that once a week.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
And so it really, it sounded like a way that you were able to give back in a way that was given to you.
Yeah, because I felt like our government or society has given me so much. So I want to give them back. Yeah.
How did that lead to the TikToks? Like when was the first time that you... Tell me about the first times that you recorded them, you know, that you decided, you know, I'm going to record this and maybe put it on the internet, see whether people care. What was that like?
Yeah. So at that time, so first I was a cleaner, then I became a supervisor. So back then I had like 30, 40 employees. And it was my summer vacation.
Wow. So you had really risen to the point where you had like a whole, like you learned and you started like your own company.
It wasn't my company. Actually, it was my mom's company.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I worked there as a slave. Sorry, Mom. But that's true.
Oh, that's so funny. And how did that lead to the videos?
So yeah, it was my summer vacation. And then I was cleaning. Back then, I was cleaning my friends and relatives' homes for free. So I was cleaning my relative's home, and there was this stove. It wasn't that dirty, but I was like, hey, maybe I should film it. Maybe I should film it and show the whole world how fun, easy, and sexy cleaning is. Like,
I don't even know what you're saying, but okay.
Because that on that time, I was the only one who saw it. So I wanted to show it to the whole world. So I filmed it. And the video got like 300 views, so nobody saw it.
All right, okay, so it didn't blow up, okay.
No, it didn't blow up. I think my granny was the only one who was like, good job!
Your grandmother.
She was the first one who downloaded TikTok after I started doing videos.
Your grandma downloaded TikTok,
yes.
So she can watch you do videos.
Yes, after that video.
Does she comment on the videos?
No, she just watched them.
Talk to me about the point where, the moment where something went viral or unexpectedly just blew up.
Yeah, so it was fun. I just kept posting videos. Mm-hmm. My mom was laughing at me once I showed her this video, and she was like, that's horrible. And I was like, okay, I know.
What was that? What was the video of?
I was washing a door, but I didn't post it because it was horrible. She was right.
Oh my God.
Okay.
That's so funny.
But then I met this guy on Tinder, and he
Tell me more.
I know. He has had a birthday coming. So I was like, hey, can I clean your home for free and make a video about it as a birthday present? And he was like, okay, that's weird, but okay.
That's got to be one of the weirdest first Tinder dates that I've heard. Like, hey, I'd like to come over to your apartment and clean it.
Yep.
Okay, all right.
But that was was the first time we saw each other.
So no, get out of here. That was your first date?
Yep. I went there and I was like, at first I was a little bit disappointed because the house didn't look that dirty. But I jumped on the counter and I saw these top shelves. There was a thick layer of dust. And I was like, yes, jackpot. Amazing bingo. Okay. And I made the video. And for the first night, it got like 5 million views. So after that, Good Morning America contacted me.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah. It was crazy.
You became an international sensation by cleaning your Tinder dates video.
Like overnight. And... after that, we got engaged and...
Come on.
I know, it's crazy.
I would say you're making it up if you weren't here right in front of me telling me with a straight face.
Yeah.
So the guy that you went on a Tinder date with, you basically were able to delete Tinder from your app after meeting him and seeing his mostly clean apartment, right?
Yeah.
How did that... Oh, my God. How did that change your life then to find that people had an interest in what you were doing?
Well, at first it felt crazy. Every time you opened your TikTok, there was just people following you. And
what kind of things were people saying? Were they commenting about you, about the space, about the guy?
Yeah, about the guy and me. Because back then I cleaned also my ex-boyfriend's home, so they didn't know anything about me. They called me like I'm a doormat and I'm crazy and
pathetic. Like he was making you clean his apartment is what
they thought. Asked me to clean his apartment and I, of course, I said yes.
You were like, this is the only good thing about this relationship, is this dirty apartment.
I can clean for everybody. I don't care who you are. I can clean your home. That's for sure, definitely. If it's dirty enough.
All right. I'm curious there has to be something that you see come up usually when you're cleaning houses. Something that ties all the people who are in this position. And I know you've just from watching a couple of your videos, that it's sometimes... something has happened in their life where they kind of freeze.
Yeah.
Talk to me about a little bit about what you've learned from that, from what people are going through.
Yeah. Usually, like I would say 80% of time, they are depressed. So depression, I think it's a most common mental illness for these people. But some people have traumas, like they have lost their child or get out of an abusive relationship. But it's always something with mental illness.
I can definitely imagine that, where you lose someone who's very close to you and then you just don't feel like doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then just as you live your life, the world piles up around you, I guess.
Yeah, right. And I mean, nobody wants to live amongst filth.
Right.
Nobody.
Right.
But they don't know what else to do. They are desperate. But usually at that point, when people contact me, they want some change for their lives.
That's interesting. They're coming to you when they've already realized.
Yes. They've tried for themselves to clean, but they are like, they are so tired of that situation. They are embarrassed, but still they are like, something has to change.
It's interesting too that, you know, there was a stretch like where we had a lot of like home makeover shows, you know, like Extreme Home Makeover, and everything was being made over in an extreme way. And it was always, we were hearing the family's personal story and we were meeting them and what have you. But you don't do that. You don't necessarily require people to tell you they can remain anonymous a lot of the times, right?
Yeah, because I feel like it's more than enough that they are letting me to their home to clean, because it's a brave thing. It's like I can see everything about their life. It's so shameful. So that's enough for me if they just let me in.
Right, because they have to make a big... They're opening up a part of their lives to you already. And you're saying you don't have to open up any more than that.
Yeah, because on video it looks easier, but imagine if that was your home.
Yeah. I'm curious what it's been like after that. Like, talk to me about, you've been doing this for how long now, where you've been filming it and such?
I started my TikTok 2020, so 3.5 years ago.
Yeah. So you must be getting to the point where some of the people that you helped earlier on, do you keep in touch with them?
No, but some people, they still send me pictures of their clean homes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that is so cute. There's this one granny. I think I cleaned her home like a year ago, but still, she sent me pictures because her only wish was that she is able to bake one day in her home, in her kitchen. So she sent me pictures of the cakes she makes.
Oh, because her kitchen was so overrun that she couldn't use it.
Yeah, it's so sweet.
What did you learn about that person in particular? Like, what had happened in their lives that things got to that point?
Yeah, so she kept her home clean, like, for years. She was, like, 80 or 70. But, like, 10 years ago, when she retired, she depressed. So.
Oh, because that whole change in your life. Yeah. That, I mean, retirement is a huge life change for most people.
Right. So one day she just wake up and saw her home totally destroy it, like, and she was like, oh my god, I just need help.
Wow.
So then she emailed me and I went there and cleaned her home, and now she's doing so much better.
That's amazing. Did you find from your own, like, when you dealt with your own depression and you talked to people who were depressed on the hotline, did you find that gave you a particular insight to what people were going through?
Yeah, it gives me a perspective of life, but it gives me also hope, because I never thought that I would live older than 25. Never, ever.
Really? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I didn't want to live. Mm. Like, so I thought that I would never make this far, or I didn't want to make. So I know that there is hope for everybody.
Right.
So, I think that's the key. When I'm cleaning these homes, I want to give hope to these people. Like, that you can fix anything.
Did you find that was important to you in your own life? Like, having someone who kept showing you that there's things to hope for that helped you, that and therapy getting you to the other side?
Well, yeah. And I think the most important people to show that was me.
Talk to me more about that. What do you mean? Talk to me more about finding the hope inside you.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Like, through therapy, of course it took me many years, but when you are, like, figuring out your values, you're talking about things, at some point there was this breaking point when I remember when I was jogging in my home with bike.
Oh, you like you were doing like a stationary bike? You were biking?
Yeah, biking in my hometown. And
then your hometown, okay.
I was outside and I was watching, like, all the colors, and I see colors so brightful. So I was like, is this a real life? Like, because before my life was being so gray. Mm. I saw everything gray. But now it was so colorful, and I was just laughing, like, this is a real life. Is this my life now?
Right, like you just saw the world. You saw, there was a moment where you just saw the beauty that you'd been missing.
Yeah, and it was, I remember that forever.
What lesson can you take from that? Because for me, I think this idea that if you hold on, you know, even when you're going through a hard time, that if you hold on, that there is another side of the thing. And even in a tunnel, there's always, you know, there's a light on the other side. You know, I try to remember that when things are hard. What kind of things did you take away from your own experience?
Well, I started to make tiny changes. So I started therapy, and after that, I started to diet. I cut out, like, milk and wheat. I started to eat healthier. I try to sleep better. Because one thing I've noticed in these houses, that the residents or the house owners always have. They have money problems. They eat poorly. They sleep poorly. Their home is messy. So there usually it's a cycle of negative things.
Right. There's this accruing of different problems that add up before you get to that point.
Yeah, right. So I didn't know back then, but I kind of break that cycle. Because back then I was smoking and doing like, everything horrible.
Like you had a lot of negative things going on in your, and then now you're on the other side and you can see some of those patterns.
Yeah, I don't drink anymore. I sleep so well. I exercise. I try to eat healthy. Like, you can do so much for yourself.
You know, I know, you know, you started obviously in Finland, and after that first viral video went, you were on Good Morning America, and now you brought your cleaning skills to this, to the States, and you're based in South Florida, and you're looking for dirty homes, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, our guest today is Ari Kananen. She's become famous for going around the globe cleaning some of the messiest homes. She's got a book, and it's titled Happiness Cleaning, How to Embrace the Mess and Love the Cleanup. You can also find her on Instagram and TikTok at Ari Katarina with two I's in there. Ari, so what brought you to South Florida? Like, what is the thing that made you decide, all right, I'm going to go around the globe and my next stop is South Florida?
Well, yeah. I've heard that everything is bigger in America.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I love big messes. So, why wouldn't I come here? Like, and there's this company who runs my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And they are based in Miami. So it was easy to come here because they could help me with everything.
Finding all these new places to clean, new content, looking for new content. So I heard that before you came here, you had never seen a cockroach. Is that true?
Yep, that's true.
All right, so, put me in context. Is I don't remember. I'm sure I saw a cockroach for the first time because I grew up down here.
Yeah.
Young enough that I don't remember that it terrified me. I'm sure that it did because I hate them today. What was your reaction? Tell me the context. When did you see it? What was your reaction to it?
Okay, yeah. That was my first home here. There was a single mom and her 13-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there with my brother. My brother was here for vacation, and we went there.
He was on vacation, and you made him clean a house? That's just mean. That's just mean. What's your brother's name? Let's give him a shout-out.
Santere.
Santere. Santere is un santo, as we say here. He's a saint.
Yeah.
What part of town were you in? Where were you? Do you remember?
No, I think it was near Miami.
Okay.
Like, but I don't
remember. You don't know the neighborhoods yet.
No.
You're still getting used to it.
I'm still learning. Sorry.
So tell me about that first house, that first South Florida house.
So we went inside the home, and then we couldn't see the cockroaches yet. So we started collecting all the trash.
Mm-hmm.
And when I pick up the trash, there was like hundreds of them. Like, seriously. And I thought for the first 5 minutes, I was like, what is going on? What are these? I didn't know. So I just pick up the trash, then I waited until they left because I saw that they were so scared of me. And then I pick up again. And like after first five minutes, I got used to them.
Oh, I don't know. I've lived here my whole life and I haven't gotten used to them.
my brother Sandre was like, you are crazy.
What was his reaction?
He was scared of them. Yeah, he was like picking up the trash and he waited. But I was like, whatever. And then they started to crawl through the ceiling.
Oh, boy.
Like up the ceiling.
Yeah,
I'm out. Then they dropped on top of us.
Oh, come on.
Like,
you're just... Look at our poor sound engineer, Richard, over there. He's just shaking his head. He's like, we're done here.
But
it does. It sounds like a horror film. Leslie just...
A horror film.
Oh, my God.
I can't even describe it, but I'm glad that was my first home because I thought every home was like that. But after that, I've cleaned here and they have like few cockroaches, like 10 or something. But that home... They had like, I don't know, maybe a million cockroaches.
Oh my God. I think you're inoculated against them at this point because South Florida also has these, we call them palmetto bugs because it's already such a different scale. We have to call it something else. It's like it's with these huge that'll come flying at you. You haven't had one of those yet?
They've
come
no, flying I at don't you? Think so. Mm, that's
oh,
interesting.
You're in for a treat this summer, my friend. So Tell me about, so you've been in here, you've been in South Florida now, how long doing this?
One and a half months.
1.5 months.
Yes.
So give me the summary. What is it, what have you found here so far?
Really good houses. I love America. Like, seriously, houses are big, the messes are bigger.
Oh my God.
I love it. So much trash. Oh, and there is so many people, because Finland, we have like 5.5 million people there. So I have a huge playground here.
Oh my
but
gosh.
Still, I'm trying to find dirty houses because it's hard to reach out people, you know.
How have you done that? What do you try to do to get folks? Is it just through your social media? How do you? Because
yeah.
I guess there's folks in South Florida. You're basically saying if you got a dirty house, reach out to you, right?
Yeah.
How do folks do that?
Like, that's why I post videos mm-hmm. on TikTok and Facebook and everything, so people can find me, so these houses can find me. So that's the point. That's the worth doing those videos.
You said you had one in Miami go viral, right?
Yeah.
All right. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, that was my the exact same house. My first house.
Right,
Miami.
The one where it was raining cockroaches.
Yeah. So it went viral. I think now it has like 130 million views on TikTok. So
is that
it's,
all?
Yeah, it's quite good.
You've already been through America doing different kinds of cleanings, right? Like you clean like the Hollywood Walk of Fame, right?
Yeah.
All right. You're out there cleaning the sidewalk. I'm like, this lady is out of her mind.
I can clean anything. I can clean anything.
Do you remember were there stars that you cleaned? Were there particular
yeah,
stars?
Yeah, I cleaned like those who? Stars. They were a little bit dirty.
Do you remember which stars?
Pink.
Pink, you cleaned.
Yeah. Of course,
which is
but,
appropriate.
I love pink.
Folks don't know. Right now, you're dripping in pink. You got a pink leather jacket and a pink shirt underneath. You got
yep.
pink lipstick. Is pink is your go-to color?
Yes, all I right. love pink.
And you do you clean while you're cleaning? Are you usually wearing pink or?
Yep, every time.
What? So tell me what it was. When did people? When you were out there cleaning the Walk of Fame? I mean, have we gotten to the point where people just walk right by, or were people? Did people stop and ask what you were doing?
Yeah. They asked me what I'm doing, but I said, I'm just a cleaner.
Yeah, and it's, you know what, if you were in LA, they probably were like, sure, some other weird thing being filmed. Like, yeah, that's an...
Exactly.
Tell me about what it's been like to find this audience online that is receptive, right? Because like we were talking about, it used to be everything, these shows were on TV, like a makeover show was on TV. Talk to me about that shift and what did it open up for you, right? Because if you had been pitching a show to Hollywood, that would have been a longer process than you just recording and starting your videos, right?
Yeah, so at first, when I posted that Tinder video, soon after that, people started to ask for my help.
Hmm.
So it all like started like that. So I started cleaning their homes on weekends because I had my day job. I was working like... on days and then weekends I was cleaning
mm-hmm.
and after that like I got my first sponsors like 6 months after that I guess.
Oh, that's interesting. So like different like what kind of sponsors wanted to attach their names to a dirty house?
There's this cleaning sponge scrub daddy who contacted me.
Okay. Is that one of the ones you brought in here?
Yes.
Oh,
I've
seen these.
It's yeah, like a little, it's on Shark Tank.
Yeah, it's a little smiley face,
yeah.
right? Oh, and that's kind of like the perfect mix for you. Like a Shark Tank thing feels like a grassroots kind of thing, like something that would exist on like through social marketing,
yeah.
that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. So it was fun. So they contact me and they just sent me their sponges, and I love them. So.
That helps you to keep doing what you're doing then, right?
Is
having that versus people, versus, you know, obviously having a company where you go and you clean somebody's house or what have you.
Yeah, so it helped me because back then I couldn't afford to stay hotels. I couldn't afford to travel that much. And so it helped me a lot because then I could buy new things mm-hmm. for these house owners and residents. So yeah, but I was like doing my day job and this social media like at the same time over a year.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was rough,
right? But clearly it's been successful, right? Like you're here with your mom, and you said your brother was in town. So
yeah.
Tell me what it's done for your family to be able to kind of chase this passion, let's call it, right?
Yeah. So after that, I was able to quit my day job and started do this for a living.
Was that scary to do that?
Yeah, kind of, but at the same time, no. I think I'm a really brave person. I'm here.
Mm-hmm. You're not scared to take those risks.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, after that, I started making YouTube videos, mm-hmm. and YouTube pays a lot of money for you. So, through that, through my sponsors and through YouTube and Facebook, I was like, I had my own company. And I think last year my sales was 1 million euros and profit of that was like 800,000 or something.
Wow.
So I think
amazing.
It's a good money.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
But to get to that point, did you ever get to a point where somebody was asking, whether it was even with family that were concerned for you and was like, are you sure about this, giving up your career, just doing these? Like, was there ever any point where you doubted what you were doing?
No. No, really? They know that I'm crazy. So, no, nobody said anything. They were like, go girl. Because these houses, I feel like I'm living my dream when I get to clean these. So, and they knew it. Like, everybody knew at that point how much I loved cleaning.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around it. But I guess that really touched a nerve for you then.
Yeah.
I'm curious the kind of connections you make from it, right? Because you meet so many people. As you're making these videos, you meet so many different people. Have there been some that... Talk to me about some of the times that really affected you, getting to know someone and being able to help them from where they were.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm maybe more touched about the dirt or stains than people, because it's easy for me, it's easier to remember there was maybe this sink in Germany which has mushrooms growing on it.
Oh my god, I saw the video of that one. Yeah,
so beautiful. Of course, of course, these people are too, like, they are sweet and like I'm really touched, but I remember more easily stains.
The horror stories.
Yeah.
Talk to me about your rituals once you clean a house. After you've cleaned a house, is there a certain thing that you do that's part of your ritual?
I just start cleaning. It's like, okay, for me, it's like...
Because if you spend two days, you're exhausted. So like, yeah, tell me about that. Like how you recover from that.
Yeah. So the thing goes like, when I get pictures from the houses, it's like looking at the restaurant menu, you know, and I'm going to choose that hamburger. I'm going to clean that house. So, and then I go to the house.
This is still like Tinder for you. You're swiping right.
Hey, that's a good, yeah, maybe like a Tinder. Okay, but then I go to the house and I see all the mess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like looking at the delicious hamburger in front of you. And you can imagine soon I'm going to eat it. Oh, it's like I'm looking at the house like, soon I'm gonna clean this. And the cleaning part is like the eating part, you know. It's the best part.
Oh man, you're connecting these two things in my brain and it's doing something bad to me, I think.
And then the plate is empty. The house is clean. You are satisfied, but it's boring.
Mm.
And I don't care what the restaurant is doing with the empty plate.
Right,
like
you've moved on. You've gotten the thing that you're interested in cleaning. This thing, you've done it. You moved on to the next one.
Yeah, I'm satisfied, but like soon, I know I want to eat more. Yeah. I want to clean more.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm exhausted, but satisfied. But like week after that, I'm full of energy. Let's go.
Let's have another hamburger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you just ruined lunch for our producer who has a hamburger waiting for her back. At her desk. Tell me, now that you're here, what are you thinking about next, right? Like getting here was such a, you know, it sounds like it was important to you to come get the bigger messes. What do you hope comes from this trip and this opportunity?
Well, I think I'm already having it. Like, that cockroach house was beyond my dreams. Like, it was
nightmares. In America, we say nightmares.
I feel like I'm living America's dream. Like, this is the dream that everybody keeps talking about. Oof. American dream.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I just wanna clean. Basically, that's what I wanna do.
Are there certain things that you're looking out for now that you've been in Miami long enough? You've been here a little over a month, that you're looking at and saying, "Oh, I want to try a condo, or I want to try a boat, somebody's roach infested boat." I don't know. What's next for you?
To be honest, I don't care what it is. If it's dirty enough, I want to clean it. Like, my tolerance is quite high, to be honest.
And oh, quite high, but not infinite. Has there been a point where you were like, I need a second?
No.
What?
No. Usually it's the opposite. The home is too clean, so I have to refuse to clean it. But there's haven't never ever been a situation that I'm like, oh, that's too dirty. And it's not going to happen. Oh, ever. I want to find like dirtier and dirtier places.
Oh my, it feels like you're making a huge challenge here. Who's helping you? Like, who should we shout out? Who's helping you do this? Is it usually just you cleaning a place?
Yeah.
Or do you enlist anybody locally?
No, usually it's just me.
You
so.
Got and I mean, I'm not going to be the one to do it, but you should reach out to like a local celebrity and see if they're willing to raise money for a charity.
But I don't want to do it alone. I like it. Of course, sometimes I would clean with my friends and relatives, but usually I clean on my own, and I love it. I can listen to some good podcast and just collect trash and swipe everything and wash everything. It's so therapeutic.
Audie, I feel like we could spend another hour kind of breaking down your desire, but it's been really eye-opening and really fun getting to talk with you for the last
hour. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Audie, how can folks find you again? They'll find you on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube looking for Audie, A-U-R-I, Katarina, right? With two I's.
Yes.
And Katarina with a K.
And if you have a dirty house, please DM me on Instagram. Send me pictures of the dirty home.
All right.
And I'll be there.
And just don't send your pictures to us, folks. Audie, thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Our guest today was Audie Kananen. She's become famous for going around the globe cleaning some of the messiest homes. She's got a book out. It's titled Happiness Cleaning, How to Embrace the Mess and Love the Cleanup. And you can also find her on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Audie Katarina. And that's Sundown for Monday, January 29th. Leslie Y. Atkinson is our lead producer. Our producer is Elisa Baena. Sergio Bustos is WLRN's VP of News, and Katie Munoz is our director of live programming. Peter J. Meritz is WLRN's VP of Radio, and our engineer is Richard Ives. Our theme music is by the Miami Afro-Cuban funk band Palo at gopalo.com. You can download a podcast of this program. Just search for WLRN Sundial on your podcast app. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we talk with the lead singer of the band Snarky Puppy, Michael League. Michael's also the co-founder of the Ground Up Music Festival happening in South Florida this weekend. I'm Carlos Frias, Clean Vibes Only.